Christian greetings to all of you this evening. We are here at the last hour, last 40 minutes of this weekend. And it has been quite a blessing. Brother Japha, thank you for sharing your heart tonight and being obedient to the Spirit of God. I was blessed by that. And young people for singing, and all of you for being here throughout this weekend. It's been a blessing. So if you noticed on your programs, it says that this message is to be an evangelistic message. And I looked at that, and I thought about choosing something I've preached before at other places. And I felt God wanted me to work and put together another message. And so I asked him for something, and he gave me something. And I am happy to share it with you tonight. But as Brother Japheth was sharing, I thought, Lord, what are we doing? I'm saying the same thing he's saying. But God works in that way sometimes. And I have often told fellow pastors and other people that seems like every time I preach, it's the same message. Well, it all comes out of the same book, right? And so, sometimes it seems like it's the same thing. So what I have to say tonight is the same thing, but as my good friend Brother Luke would say, it's just a little bit different. Title of the message, I've chosen a title, and it is this: Who is calling the signals in your life? Now, how many of you here tonight would remember hearing Brother Eli Yutzi preach? Oh yeah, there's a lot of hands out here. Remember Brother Eli Yutzi? Well, when I was a young boy, I remember Brother Eli coming to our church and preaching, and I remember the title of his message was something like this, and so I'm giving him credit tonight for the title. It was something about who's calling the signals in your life. I don't remember anything else he said that night, but I thought it was just nice to remember Eli, and something he said 50 years ago stuck with me. Who is calling the signals in your life? So when you think about signals, just offhand, would anybody have, like, what comes to your mind? What kind of signal would you think of? Yes. Traffic signal. Okay, good. What else? Signals. I'm sorry? Railroad. Okay, very good. Cell phone signals. There we go. All right, so good. You're thinking lighthouse signals. Turning signals, the game of football, the quarterback calls a signal. He goes, hot, 92, hike. That's a signal. That's when it happens. The action starts. And last night, I believe it was, I was preaching, and I said some things about technology, and Brother Japheth was back there, and he gave me a signal. He went like this, thumbs up, keep going. All right, so signals. Well, I have brought a signal with me this evening that I would like to show you. And young man, you hit it right on what I was thinking, a traffic signal. So red means what? Okay, what's it mean? There you go. What does yellow mean? Caution. What does, I heard that, but what does green mean? Go, all right. So red, yellow, green are important because stop, caution, go is important. Can you agree with that tonight? Amen. All right, thank you. You agree with that. That's important. So let me give you a little bit of an illustration. Stop is important. If you are fishing on the Niagara River above the falls, how many of you stood at the falls, the Niagara Falls? How many of you have stood there? It is amazing. It's scary. If you think about being on a boat above the falls, and I believe that if I am right, it almost seems like I've seen it. I can't prove that, but I think I have, that somewhere above the falls on the river, there's a sign that says, stop. Do not go any further with your boat. It's not safe. I like to fish, friends. but there is no way I'm going fishing on the Niagara River. I don't even want to get close to that stop sign. And I have been fishing quite often with Brother Lyle, and if he would invite me to go out fishing with him on the Niagara with his boat, no, because his boat has left us down many times. And I'm not going there. So stop sign. Yellow, caution. If you live in eastern Oregon and you go deer hunting in the mountains, you need to keep your eyes open for mountain lions, and I'm cautioning you with that because of a true account. My uncle, Verton Troyer, his name was mentioned this morning or this afternoon by Brother Carlin. He went hunting in the mountains in eastern Oregon, and he was an old man. He had borrowed a gun to go with a friend deer hunting. He got up to the top, somewhere in the mountain. He sat down against a tree, and he fell asleep, and God woke him up just before a mountain lion charged him. It had stalked him, and he shot it. Caution. Yellow. Green. Green means go. And so if it is Sunday morning, or it is Sunday night, or it is Wednesday night, or it is revival meetings, green. Go to church. That's where God's people should be, right? That's what the Bible says. Don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. Even more so in these days. So green is important. So we all agree tonight, the signals to stop, to be cautious, to go are important. The question tonight, who is calling the signals in your life? That's what Japheth was asking too. I ask you tonight, my brothers and sisters, who is calling the signals in your life? The late brother Richard Hurd taught me that everything comes from somewhere. Every choice you make is guided by something that comes from somewhere. Who is calling your shots? Tonight I'd like to look at two signal callers. And you can take the whole world. See, I'm a really simple man, so I got to narrow things down where I can understand it. You can take the whole world and you narrow it all down to this. There are two signal callers. That's it. In the whole world. I invite you tonight to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We want to look at these two signal callers. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friends, this evening, Jesus left heaven. God the Father sent him down here on earth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, he came to be our signal caller. That's why he came, for you. Now will you go with me to John chapter 8. Tonight I'm going to just use John chapter 8 and John chapter 14. And we'll go back and forth a time or two. John chapter 8, verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. We can easily identify another signal caller, and it is the devil. And what a contrast it is. You read that portion in John 14, and you read this portion in John 8. It is light and darkness. It's easy to see. They are so far apart. Folks, it is so clear, and it is so easy to see it on paper. Why is it so difficult for us to not see it in real life? It's easy to see here. But somehow, as we do life, we can't see it. And I think it's because we are human beings and we're not yet perfect. Remember, we're striving for that center. We're not there yet, but we're striving for it. And we're in the process of progressive sanctification. And so all these things hinder us from seeing it. And maybe one of the big deals in our life as conservative Mennonite people, we are so busy with life that we just run, and we barely stop to think, really, who is calling my signals? We live in a fallen world, and it's easy to get off track. And you know, friends, that's why we come to IBF meetings, to be fed truth. That's why we read our Bibles every day, because we need truth. That's why we pray every day, so we're connected with truth. You cannot overfeed on truth, friends. But if you underfeed on truth, oh, then that opens the door for lies come into our heart. Well, we're going to contrast these two signal callers, but before I do that, will you flip back with me to chapter 14? And I would like to share a few things with you here. Jesus said in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. My friends, tonight, we live in a troubled world. I don't need to tell you that. I mean, the whole world has trouble. Anywhere you go, because there's much of the world that doesn't have God, and so you're going to have trouble. But there's trouble all over. There's trouble in Michigan. There's trouble in Indiana. There's trouble in our churches. There's trouble even in our families. We have to admit that. I'm guessing that many of us are sitting here tonight and we have got siblings that are outside of the narrow, straight and narrow way. There's trouble all over. We do live in troubled times. I ask you tonight, is it possible to live in troubled times and not have a heart that's troubled? We can. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't focus on all the trouble that's out there. The answer is yes, we do live in troubled times, but we can live in that without having our own heart troubled. Yes, God is still in control, folks. He's got it. Rest your heart in God. Don't let your heart be troubled. President Trump, no disrespect, but he's not in control. Neither are the Republicans or the Democrats. Neither is Elon Musk. They're not in control. Hollywood is not in control. And friends, rest your hearts in God. You don't have to fix the world. You don't even have to fix your church. Just live for Jesus. Rest in God. He is in control. He can do what you cannot do. Friends, tonight, I have read the back of the book, and we win. Don't let your hearts be troubled. In verse 2 and 3, Jesus is talking about mansions in heaven. And friends, tonight, I just love this verse. In verse 2, Jesus said to you and me, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Braxton, Jesus went to prepare a place for you. I can name names. My brother Tim sitting back there. Jesus went to prepare a place for you, young ladies. Jesus went to prepare a place for you. Jacob, sitting way over on the right side, he's preparing a place for you. It's a personal invitation. Put it on your refrigerator. Plan for it. Get ready for it. Be ready for it. Are you preparing to go? Are you prepared to go tonight? Oh, you say, that's a crazy question. No, it's not a crazy question. Not one of you has promise of coffee tomorrow morning. Not one of you. It's not a crazy question. Are you ready to go tonight? That's what life is about, friends. Eternity isn't a choice, but where you spend it is. And time is a God-given gift to get ready for the trumpet call. Jesus said in verse 3, he said, I will come again. Do you believe that, friends? He said, I'm going to come again. And I believe that those are four words that we should not forget. And like I said, we get so busy in life, we tend to forget that Jesus said, I'm coming again. Now, we all say tonight that we believe that. Do we live like we believe it, that he's coming again? I think, friends, that that's a truth that we struggle to live out. Live like Jesus is coming again. Friends, when the trumpet sounds, life as we know it on this earth is going to be over. It's going to be done, all over. And I am just simple enough to believe that what the Bible says, that when he comes back, he's going to come back the same way he went. He's going to come back in the clouds. And the Bible says the trumpet will sound. I believe that. And so someday, if you're at work or if you're in your house, whatever you're doing, or if you're sleeping and you hear this loud trumpet sound, get up and look up. Jesus is coming back. There's going to be a trumpet that sound. Paul was convinced of it. He said, in the last day, the last trump, he said, the trumpet shall sound. And he said, the dead shall be raised. And he said, we shall be changed. It's going to happen. Jesus said so. And you know, friends, when the trumpet sounds, money won't matter anymore. It's not going to matter if you got $10 or $10 million. It's not going to make any difference. When the trumpet sounds, our status here is not going to make any difference. Oh, I'm a CEO of a company, or I own this business, or I work at McDonald's. It's not going to make any difference. When the trumpet sounds, our collection of toys and homes, it's all going to be ashes, just a pile of ashes. It won't make any difference. Our trucks, our SUVs, our side-by-sides, it won't make any difference. All the fancy things you put on it, it's all going to melt. It doesn't make any difference when the trumpet sounds. It's all the same. When the trumpet sounds, all the name brand symbols of this world are going to be forever abolished. It won't make any difference. And since we've been on this, hammering this subject this weekend, I think God ordained this, but let me say this yet. When the trumpet sounds, all of our smartphones, all of YouTube, all social media, all of Facebook, all the stuff that's stored in the cloud, it's all going to be gone. Praise the Lord. No smartphones in heaven. We'll be rid of that bother. I'm going to be so happy about that. But friends, when the trumpet sounds, I care, friend, about how that's going to work out for you. How will it work out for you? If the trumpet sounds and you're watching a movie, how's that going to work out for you? If the trumpet sounds and you're looking at pornography, how's that going to work out for you? If the trumpet sounds and you're at odds with your brother or sister in the church, how's it going to work out for you? If the trumpet sounds and you're rebelling against authority in your life, how will that work out for you? The trumpet sounds, and you've not been honest in whatever area of your life. How will that work out for you? My friends, tonight I ask you, is there anything in your life that you do regularly or occasionally that you don't want to be doing when the trumpet sounds? That's something we should think about. Because, see, we don't know when the trumpet's going to sound. I brought another illustration with me this evening, and maybe two's too many, I don't know, but so this is a Holy Bible there. Talking about tonight about who's calling the signals in your life. Is your signal caller Jesus? And this is me and you. Is my signal caller Jesus? And am I resting on the Word of God and on the truth of God? Or do you need a string to keep you close to the Word of God? Is your signal caller calling you to the truth? Or is your signal caller calling you away from truth? It's one or the other. Let's look at these two signal callers. And tonight, friends, it is important that you consider tonight, where your commands, where your red, where your yellow, where your green is coming from. Who is calling the signals in your life? It's important tonight, friends, that you consider that who is calling the signals in your life is directly attached to where your eternity will be. So let's compare these two signal callers. First of all, we'll look at the devil himself and go back to John chapter 8. The devil himself is the signal caller for the kingdom of this world. And here in John chapter 8, in the verses we read, in verses 41 through 47, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and to the unbelievers of his day. And he is telling them, and I'm paraphrasing this, but he is telling them that, folks, you are getting, you unbelievers are getting your signals from the devil. That's what he's telling them. He says in verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. Now, I know this is pretty plain, blunt English, but Jesus said this. And then he said, in the lust of your father, the devil, ye will do. And so Jesus was telling these people, look, you are getting your stop and your caution and your go from the devil. That's where you're getting it. Now, folks, tonight, that is a terrible place to be. That's not a good place to be. And I'm going to warn you tonight of what you get with the devil calling your signals. And I hope there is nobody here tonight that is in that position, but hopefully there isn't. And so maybe it's just a warning, but maybe it's a reality for somebody tonight. But here's what you get. In verse 44, he says you get lies. He says in the middle verse, and abode, talking about the devil, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, friends, that is really, really terrible. And if we would take a moment to think about what Jesus said the devil is, I think it will help us to, in our hearts, purpose, as we talked the other night, to make sure that our caller signal is not the devil. He is full of, there is no truth. There is no truth in him, and it is impossible for him to ever give you a correct signal. Never. It never happened. Because he is all lies. He is the father of all lies. He thinks lies. He feeds lies into that signal. His very nature is to lie. There's no truth in him. And so you'll never get a right signal from the devil. So what's that mean for you or me if he's calling my signal? It means that he would give you a green light when you're on a boat on the Niagara River. He would. He'd say, don't worry about that stop sign. That's just for guys that have bad engines and poor management. And, you know, the good fishing is really beyond that sign. Don't worry. I mean, it's not bad. You can get a lot closer than that. And then when you go down over the falls, he's going to laugh himself silly. That means that he's going to give you a green light to go anywhere on the internet. Oh, really? Japheth didn't know what he's talking about? I mean, it's not that bad. I'm strong. I'm a big man, or I'm a strong girl. I read my Bible, and, you know, I'm an old person. It can't hurt me. Really? He'll give you the green light. He'll give you the green light to rebel to authority. You're all really, you know, this, your preachers are, they're so old-fashioned. They don't get it. They're so out of touch. Mom and dad don't know what they're doing. And rebel, he'll just give you the green light. You don't have to do what they say. You're your own person. Do what you think is right. That also means that he's going to give you a red light when it's time to read your Bible. No, no, he's going to give you 100 excuses. A red light. So you don't read your Bible. He's going to give you a red light when it's time to submit to your brother or sister. No, no, no. I mean, those people are way off. Think about it, really. Look at the messes they have. And I'm supposed to submit to them? Come on. He'll give you a red light. He'll give you a red light when it's a time to obey the church standards. Oh, those are man-made rules. Are you kidding yourself? You're not going to have any more fun. Nobody else thinks that way. He'll say, don't obey the church standards. And a little fudging won't matter anyhow. So what do you get? With the devil's a signal caller, you get lies. Number two, you get bondage, you get chains, you get addictions, you get spiritual darkness. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father, who is the devil. Then that means that every single he gives you is going to lead to a life of sin. And so that means you're going to get bondage. That's what sin does. It brings you bondage and darkness and addictions. And it's, you know, sin is advertised as freedom and liberty. And the devil says, you're going to have so much fun. You ought to just try it. You're going to love it. And you're going to be free. You're going to be free from all those restrictions you've never experienced. You need to do it. And you know what? When you start sinning, it feels good. Yeah, it's fun. And it's freedom. I'm out from underneath all those rules and all those, you know, restrictions. It's freedom. It's great. Until you try to stop. Then there's a problem. Because you're in bondage. It's great until you try to stop. It's not really great, but you know what I'm saying. Try stopping. And if there are those of you here tonight that are in bondage, why don't you stop? Because it's hard. All at once you realize, I'm a slave. These chains are heavy. And what was promised and advertised as freedom looked good, but it was all false. And you get bondage. Number three, what do you get? You get eternity in hell. In verse 44, it says, he was a murderer from the beginning. The devil is a spiritual murderer. And friends, tonight, if you're sitting here and you are unconcerned about who's calling the signals in your life, you need to wake up. I want to tell you something. The devil has one goal, one focus, one plan, and that is that you would end up in hell with him. He's a murderer. Okay, now let's go to John 14 and look at God, the signal caller. God himself is the signal caller for the kingdom of heaven. And what you get is this, John chapter 14, verse 6. I love this. Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Friends, tonight, if God is calling the signals in your life, he's going to give you the way. And the way is great. The way has so many things that you want and you need. It is a joy to walk the way. It is a clear path forward. You can see down the way, and at the end of the way are the pearly gates. It's a clear path forward. On that path, on the way, is a cross. And we stop at the cross. And as I said the other night, there's where we get rid of that backpack of sins we've been carrying along. And we continue on the way because we've been forgiveness. You get forgiveness on the way. He is faithful and just to forgive us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, forgiven. And on that way, we get Holy Spirit power to say no to the devil. Say no to the temptations. Say no to the world. That is the way, friends. Friends tonight, we are not Christians because we're good people or because we're good carpenters or because we're good masons or electricians or good quilters or cooks. We're not Christians because we dress plain. We're not Christians because we have a simple lifestyle. Friends tonight, we are Christians because what God has done in our life. It's not about us. It's about what Jesus is doing inside of us. He provides the way. What do we get when Jesus calls our signals? He said, I am the way. And then he said, I am the truth. And Brother Japheth is talking tonight about the truth and how important it is. And friends tonight, what if everybody in our church would be anchored on the truth, on the Word of God? What would that mean? If everybody be sitting on the Word of God, the testimony, the power, the victory, the light, the salt that our churches would be. And as Brother Japheth was talking about truth and talking about AI, my blood pressure went zoom because I am concerned, friends, if our pastors and our churches and our Sunday school teachers start getting their material and teaching and preaching AI, our churches are doomed. And I hope we don't forget that. Sure, it may be easy, but there's no power in it. There's no truth there. Is there truth on the internet? Yes, there is. However, every morsel that you pull off the internet that has anything to do with direction or spiritual things, you need to filter it like crazy because the foundation of the internet does not come from God. It is from the kingdom of this world. And we need to remember that. The good news is that the Bible does not need a filter. It's 100% accurate. Every verse, every line. You don't need to filter it. 100% absolute truth. Our signal caller always signals with truth. And when our signal caller says, stop, then we stop. When he says, be cautious, then we be cautious, and we take time to think it through. And when he says, go, then we take off like crazy and go. Number three, I am the way, the truth, the life. Our signal caller gives life. The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is a powerful, victorious gospel. And I am concerned about Christians that are sitting in our churches and they're not living in victory, and pretty soon they get the idea that, you know what, nobody lives in victory. Yes, we live in victory. The gospel of Jesus Christ is glorious. My friends, tonight when you get saved, you get gloriously saved. And it doesn't mean that we have, somebody said the other day, we don't have to have had a bad record behind us of being in jail 10 times and, you know, and stealing stuff 6 times. No, no. And when you're saved, you are gloriously saved. And it works. It's the life. It is freedom from bondage, freedom from the chains, freedom from death. John said in chapter 8, and I didn't read these verses, but he said, and shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And if the Son, therefore, doth set you free, you're free indeed. Full assurance of salvation. When God is calling our signals, friends, we can have full assurance of salvation. When God says stop, and he says yellow, and he says green, you follow those signals, you are saved, friends. You're fully saved. As long as you are following God's signals, full assurance of salvation. And on top of that, we get peace that the world can't give. Our signal caller, when he calls our signals, we get a peace, friends, that the world can't even come close to giving. The life, eternity in heaven. Verse 3, he said, I will come again. And he said, I'm going to get you, and I'm going to take you to be with you, to be with me in heaven, to your personal mansion. Now, friends, tonight, that is life. There's no sin there. God is there. Tonight, you may be asking, how do I know who is calling my signals? Maybe you're asking that tonight. You know, maybe I'm somewhere in between. You know, maybe I'm tied to the world. I know I got a little bit of pull. But who it really is, maybe both of them are calling my signals. No, friend. No, not both. The devil and God don't have a joint venture going here, friends. You're not somewhere between. You're one or the other. So how do I know? I want to give you 3 really quick, short little tests that you can know who is calling my signal. The first one is this. What do you believe? Jesus said in John 14, he said, believe in me. And then Jesus told the unbelievers in John chapter 8, he told them that you don't believe in me, you believe in the devil. So the question is, what do I believe? What do you believe tonight? Well, here's the test. How you live is what you believe. It's really that simple. You know, I have a number of people that their Covenant Eyes accountability comes to our phone. And I had an alert come up from this one man, and the screenshot, my wife didn't show it to me. I don't want to see it. And she said, honey, it's not good. So I contacted this man, and he was not from our congregation. And I said, look, what's up with this? And he said, Delmer, he said, I failed. I fell. But he said, I want you to know that that's not who I am. Really? See, how you live is what you believe. Second test, what do you hate and what do you love? And the test is, do I hate what God hates? Do I love what God loves? That's the test. And the third test of who is calling my signals is this. Where would I be if nothing held me back? Where would I be if nothing held me back? Is your spirituality dependent upon a string, like church standards, rules? And if your string was cut, would you drop to the Word of God or would you drift away? Or is your heart guided by God, by Jesus, the signal caller, the way, the truth, the life? Tonight again, we're going to give a short invitation, sawdust trail invitation. Come up front, exit that door, somebody will meet you there, somebody will pray with you. If God has spoken to you this week, friends, not just from this message tonight, there's been many, many powerful truths shared this weekend, and maybe God has spoken to your life. And I'm not begging for a response tonight. It's nothing about me. It's about you and God. But I would just challenge us. I think we often say, I've really been challenged. Friends, there comes a point in time in our lives when we need to move from a challenge to a commitment. And I encourage you, if God has spoken to your life, just be honest. And someone will pray with you as you make a commitment to have Jesus as your signal caller. Let's pray. Father, this short little invitation tonight, it's all yours. It's not mine. And I ask your spirit to move in and out of the rows of benches here tonight, if there's someone here tonight that needs to make a new commitment, confess sin, whatever it is, Lord, you know, they know. I just pray that your spirit would encourage them to settle with you tonight in this pleasant atmosphere of God's people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.